Restore every heart that is broken. Till all for overcoming. Hallelujah.
Playing with the baby. Isn't it awesome that now that Jesus is overcome, we overcome? Oh, I was gonna get that. Amen. I think it gets heavier every time. What? Oh, there you go. 57. Just a baby, right? 57 is a baby, right, Phyllis? Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing? Good? Did you have a good week? Well, we had a very, very interesting week. Gabe was getting maybe 1 to 2 hours of sleep per night, right, at the most. And as I shared last week, Gabe's mom was in the nursing home not doing really, really well at the time. And on Thursday at about 4:45, she went home to be with the Lord. She obtained her reward, as it is said in the scriptures. Her faith became sight. And during that time, Gay was wearing a shirt off and on. And it was so appropriate for the moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
But it says, just passing through on it. And it's a thought that is something that should permeate our thoughts as Christians, I believe. That we're not, you know, permanent residents of this place. And so today, in light of the events of this week, and I've actually shared that thought with Jesse in a couple different ways, I wanted to talk about just passing through. So you guys could start the slideshow. There are slides. I know it's unusual. Lately, it hasn't been many, so... Oh, it's not on the schedule? Uh-oh. Are you kidding? It's not going to be there.
Just passing through.
Hang on, let me see how... Go ahead and talk for a moment, hon.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's
okay,
nothing
so
on the schedule.
Okay, so I do have something to say since this happened. I just am going to take that as the Lord wants me to talk.
Amen.
So, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but... I do not feel like praising, worshiping, or anything like that when I'm upset or hurting or having an awful time. And a year ago, December, my dad passed away, and his service was on a Saturday, and Sunday morning I'm right back in church. And then this happened the same way with my mom. Yesterday was her service, and then I'm right back in church. And it's like, oh, I don't feel like it. And the Lord really spoke strongly to my heart. I don't care how you feel. I'm moved by your emotion, but I don't care that you don't feel like it. What I want you to do is give it anyway. And throughout this whole week, we have just been so keenly aware of the grace of God. We had no idea what my mom was holding on for, because by rights, after she had a stroke on Sunday, she should have gone Sunday night, and she didn't. And it just kept hanging on. But I know for a fact that the rest of that time from Sunday to Thursday morning, God had a lot to teach all of us in that time frame, and it couldn't have been done any other way. And so as we were worshiping this morning, it didn't matter how I felt. It didn't matter about me. It wasn't even about me. Whoa. ding, ding, ding. It's about him, whether I feel like it or not. And I know this is very unconventional. Oh, the pastor's wife's getting up there saying she don't feel like praising and worshiping. Well, you know what? This is the real world, people, mm-hmm. and we live in it.
Exactly.
And I am not going to put on a made-up face and act like I'm all hunky-dory when I am not. And you guys can smack me around when I'm letting the pity party go a little too far or whatever. But what I'm trying to say is God is the reason that I praise and I worship, not me. God Amen. Is the reason that I offer that praise, not me. And so when we're standing there, whether or not it's been a rough morning, a rough night, a rough week, month, year, 2 years, it does not matter. Because when I praise and worship and I do what I know I'm supposed to be doing in his name, he restores me. He brings back to me
Amen.
The things that I need that have been taken from me in that week of time that has been major pain. So I just want to tell everybody the way that we have worship going right now with just a few of us up there and then canned, you need to sing it to the Lord like you've never sang it to him before. Doesn't matter who's standing around or anything. You need to bring that praise to him. And it doesn't just need to be on Sunday morning. It needs to be all the time. All the time. We had music playing for mom this week, and she liked all the real old stuff, you know, and I'm talking Gaither Band. Does anybody know who they are? And all Gaither people. And my brother's not a Christian. What is that that we're listening to? Like, he just could not believe it. But it brought her comfort, so we did play it. But he's just like, oh, mama, you are old. Because, you know, you're listening to all that old stuff. But it's kind of cute. But anyway, be praying for our family. Because mm-hmm. he's really, my brother's heart is so open. And he's been talking with Mike and with Rich. And, you know, he is, God is rototilling his spirit, his heart, and letting him come around that softness of the Lord for a reason. So pray for all of us. Okay, I'm done now.
That's perfect timing. So we are just passing through. And the Bible calls us sojourners or pilgrims. Sometimes it calls us strangers. So I thought it'd be appropriate to look at some verses today that really communicate these principles. There's a couple other aspects that I want to bring to it, but the key thought is that this is not our home. This that we are on a journey that to someplace else. So if we look at 1 Peter 2:11, he says to the people that he's writing to at that time, which still applies to us. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So Peter is admonishing them. He's communicating to them that it's that as people who are just passing through, as ones that are not, permanent residents here, to abstain from the fleshly lusts, because they war against the soul. They fight that whole process of being able to keep your focus on that you're not a permanent resident here. Does anybody struggle sometimes with that? Mm-hmm. Struggle on the whole idea of permanent residency here, because it seems so real and tangible. I know I've talked about this before, that the physical world is all that we experience most of the time. You know, other than, you know, what we sense in our hearts and our minds with the Lord. But for the most part, it seems to be the dominant thing that we focus on. But it is the temporal. It is not mm-hmm. the eternal. It is not the lasting part of who we are. The lasting part of who we are is still yet to come, which mom is now experiencing. Mom is now experiencing that what she trusted in was solid. Mm-hmm. that it wasn't just pie in the sky, you know. And obviously she had that deposit of the Holy Spirit in her that gave her the assurance that she was in his arms, she was safe. But she experienced the fullness with understanding of, oh my goodness, that seemed like a dream.
Yeah.
That seemed like just a blink. This is something worth waiting for. So abstaining from fleshly lusts is a choice we get to make. You know, what we choose to do with our body, what we choose to do with our mind, what we choose to do with our thought processes, what we choose to focus on, what we choose to watch and listen to, all have an influence on us. What we read, people we hang around with, all those things, and they can either lead us to the remembrance in our heart that we are just passing through, or they can lead us to the remembrance of our heart that we're trying to grab hold of everything we can get here, when it's all just going to turn to dust anyway. So let's go ahead and look at another verse. This is Psalm 39:12 in the New Living Translation. It really says it nicely here. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears, for I am your guest, a traveler passing through, as my ancestors were before me. For I am your guest. That's kind of an interesting way to think about it, isn't it? For I am your guest. It's almost like he's hosting us here. And, you know, you think about that, that it says that you know, before time was, you know, we were predestined. He thought of us. And so he's prepared a place for us, and he's our host. But again, this is just a temporary stage in our existence. This is like ground floor level right now. You know, this is not even, you know, this might even be basement for all we know in the levels of God. Probably is basement, right? Sub-level of the basement. I don't know. But the point being is that we are guests here of his, and we're travelers just passing through. I mean, the next time, you know, can't, you know, pay a bill, or the next time, you know, things are going really south at work, or you're having just, you know, bad relationships or whatever it is, remember that this is temporary. That you only need to give so much of your heart to worrying about it, because we are just passing through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So along with that, life is a vapor, the Bible says. So we're just passing through, but we're not on a long journey passing through. You know, I think that picture of that traveler, he's just passing a certain area of the land, and then he'll be in another area. And that's what it's like. We're just passing a certain area of our existence. See, you have to realize, whether you like it or not, you're eternal. You came from an eternal God, and you are going to remain eternal. You're going to remain eternal in him, or you're going to remain eternal outside of him. And how we choose this basement floor to walk and follow and to trust in depends upon whether we're in him or outside of him. Now, some may say, well, that's heaven and that's hell. But hell is without God completely. I mean, that means there's no good. There's nothing good there. There's no love. There's no hope. There's no peace. There's no joy. Because those are all attributes of God. Hell is the absence of God. Yeah, you could say it's weeping and gnashing. It's burning. It's fire. But it's the absence of God is the worst thing. Forget the pain and all that. There's no God. And God is the core of your existence. He is why you live, move, and have your being now. So life is a vapor. James 4:14 says it this way.
Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. He's talking about people saying, hey, we're going to go do such and such. We're going to go and, you know, buy this house, or we're going to go and move across the country tomorrow, and we're going to go, you know, start a new job. Or James is saying, wait a minute. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Now, I'm sure all of us have done this before, especially as little kids. Gone up to the mirror and went, ha, right? You blow on the mirror. And what happens? You see your breath. You see the vapor of your breath, the heat of your breath, cause a condensation on the mirror, and the mirror becomes cloudy, right? And that just, that stays there forever. And you go away and you come back and there's that cloudy vapor that you, no, it doesn't stay there. How long does it stay there? Seconds. That's what James is trying to say here. Your life is like a vapor. And yet we put all of our effort, all of our time, all of our, you know, resources into securing our happiness and joy and everything in this life, when this life is passing.
I read a story about a guy in the 1800s that journeyed across the ocean to the area over there. I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but like he went somewhere across, you know,
the Atlantic.
Yeah, that way. Anyway, and so
he
got to experience going into this very famous monk's room. Like, I don't know how he got to go in there because it's pretty private, but he got to do that somehow.
They had to give tours.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah. Okay, well, there you have it. And he noticed that all that was in that room was a bed with one little thin mattress, and then just a little table and a couple hooks, and that's it. And he questioned the monk about, you know, why is it, if this is where you live, why is there so little? And the monk said to him, well, where's your bed? Where's your couch or your TV? He goes, well, no, I wouldn't have that with me. I'm just traveling through. I'm just a visitor. And he looked at the guy and said, so am I.
Oh, wow. That's a good truth.
We put so much emphasis on the things that fill up. He fills up.
Amen. Job, the one who was going through terrible time, if you ever read the book of Job, and seems to be at no fault of his own, is communicating all the way through the book different truths. And this one he says, for we were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow. Now, again, this maybe doesn't necessarily communicate like a vapor, but, you know, a shadow is, you know, you could say, well, no, I always have my shadow with me, but the last place your shadow is at is probably already gone. The original, you know, if you were to cast a light on me and I had a shadow here, it'd only take me a second to change that shadow. There's only a brief moment that one of our shadows is there. And our existence here is just like a brief shadow. It's just it's like a drop into water. And you know, the water goes in, it hits, and then it's totally absorbed into the whole thing. And then all that's really left is the ripple of that drop. And that's kind of like what we have an opportunity to do, is to pour into other people's lives, is that then we get to be a ripple along and maybe influencing their life. Or the ones that we influenced help influence others. Psalm 144, 3 and 4 say it this way. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. So see, there it is, like a passing shadow. Just a shadow that just passes. So I think we get the idea that our life is short. Now, there's some younger ones here.
And there's some older ones here. I want to ask the younger ones, at this time, does it seem like your life is going slow? Like it takes a long time to get grown up? Yeah, right? Yeah, but I'm looking, Sally, is it kind of seem like, oh, I want to already be out of school. I want to start my life. It just seems like this thing's just cranking along really slow. Evelyn, you just got out of high school, right? So you know that it's, you know, it took a long time, it seemed like, to get there, right? Now, those of you who are in your, like, your mid-whatever, I don't want to say for sure, but have you noticed that it's not the same as when you were in school? That, well, now what happened? Now it's already, it's May coming up to next week? It's, what is it? I said that. I was going like, no, this is crazy. It's May already coming up next week. Anybody else do that? How many of you like now go, oh my goodness, it's Christmas again? It's like, it seemed like we just did it yesterday. And so now, as you get older, it really seems like it's ticking fast, doesn't it? All of a sudden, this idea of vapor becomes more and more aware to your heart. It's like, where did time go? It's like, you know, Jim Croce said, if I could put time in a bottle, you know, if I could somehow lock in time, you know, and so that I could get some things done that I want to do. And yet, it is fleeting. Now, I think you're the winner of the oldest here. Hasn't it seemed fast? No? It didn't seem like a vapor to you? Didn't seem... I mean, to me, it did. To me, I remember being, or barely remember being a little kid, and now I'm, you know, 57. It's like, where... Yeah, I'm old. Well, old is in the eye of the beholder. You're as old as you think you are, I think, and as much as your body wants to let you fool yourself. But what's that?
Makes you 120.
But the point being is that our life is like a breath, and it is a vapor, and it's fleeting, and it's a temporary existence that we need to make sure that while we're here, as the next verse says, 1 Peter 1:7. And if you 1:17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, does that mean like fear, afraid of God? Because we're no longer slaves of fear. No, it's a fear and reverence that you're a guest. It's a fear and reverence that you're passing through. It's a fear and reverence that you have been given this existence from God as a gift, and now treasure it. And now as he has given you life, give your life back to him. That's the kind of fear it's talking about. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay in fear. Fear isn't a bad thing unless you're afraid of God in a way that you think he's going to punish you for just doing a bad thing. It's a fear and reverence of who he is, the creator of all things. Did you have something to share?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, carrying on this thought that we're just passing through, that life is a vapor, this is not our home. It's not our home. You may enjoy it, you know, but that monk had the right idea. That wasn't his home. His home was someplace else, and he was devoting his whole life on focusing on that home. Now, whether, you know, there was some doctrinal things, we all got doctrinal things with him that we don't necessarily agree with, his heart was hungry for the one who had redeemed him to the place where he was willing to sleep on
a little bed,
sounds uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and have a little table to eat his food and a place to maybe hang a coat. And that was enough for him because it's not his home.
Right. Well, and another thing too, with regards to that is that us and what we've experienced with both my parents being gone in 14 months is that my mom and dad have got buku stuff pushed into a little house and two sheds that we're going to have to go through. That monk nobody's going to have to go through a thing. He did not get caught up in that. Do you know what I mean? And we tend to get so caught up in that stuff that we forget we're here with a purpose, an eternal purpose. And it's not about you or me. It's about the others' lives that we touch.
The number one purpose for you being here is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, to be transformed into who he is. And he has empowered us by going to the cross, by being buried and being resurrected. He has overcome, like we said, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We will overcome to the place where we're not having to exist as we used to. We will be transformed. Yes, though, we'll be transformed when we see him in his fullness, but we're being transformed even now as we choose to see him as much as we can at this point. As we let the light of the glory of his face shine into our hearts, we're being transformed into him as his image. So this is not our home. I digress. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven. So, guys, you are not, I hate to tell you this, your main citizenship is not United States citizenship. As nice as that is, a privilege, and Paul had Roman citizenship, and it was a great privilege for him. But your main citizenship is that you are a citizen in heaven. And this is Paul saying that. So he has Roman citizenship, which at the time was like being an American citizen. You know, there's times that American citizens go into a country and they start getting into trouble. And the very fact that they're American citizens, it makes it hard to do certain things to them in certain countries. Now, others, maybe not so much, but that carries weight. Sometimes, even to the place where, you know, our embassy will get involved and say, no, they're an American citizen, you need to release them to us. So our main citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how many of you can relate with being a citizen of heaven? Anybody? That's kind of hard, isn't it? Again, it's something that seems to be in the future where you're going to experience what that means. But right now, that's saying that the dominion of God, his kingdom, is what we live by now. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is operating now for us because we are citizens of heaven. That the benefits of being a citizen in heaven are ours now. Mm-hmm. Even though that doesn't appear that way. Here's one. This is an interesting part of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. If you ever want to be encouraged, go through and read Hebrews 11. And if you want to be a little bit discouraged, you can read all the way to the end because it starts talking about them being sawn in two and being destitute and without, you know, without land, all these things. But then it says that they had a hope that was fulfilled, even though they did not see it on this earth. They were just passing through and they understood that. But Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 is a testimony of Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as inheritance. Now, he left a home. He left a family. He left, you know, basically his existence. And he says, God told him, I want you to go to a place that I will show you in the future. I'm not going to show it to you now. I just want you to go and I'll lead you on the way. Hello.
I'm all over that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really our journey of faith, if we choose to follow it that way.
Yeah.
That God says, okay, I'm going to redeem you, I'm going to save you, I'm going to buy you back from the evil one, and now I want you to follow me. Well, where do you want me to follow me? I'll tell you. When will you tell me? When you need to know. It's on a need-to-know basis, and right now you don't need to know. You just say you want to start following me, and that's what faith is. Faith is choosing every day to continue to follow him wherever he's going to tell you. He may not give you the whole plan. Has anybody got the whole plan yet for their life? It's just not part of the package usually. He wants us to walk by faith. But it says that he was told to go out and receive his inheritance in the land that he would show him. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Well, there we go. Just had to read one more line down and we would get that whole point. So, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Or he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So what is this saying? This is saying that Abraham went to a land. Now, he never received the buildings, the structures, the palace, the temple, all of the amount of money that came in when Solomon was king, but he received it in his heart, and he anchored that land for his sons and daughters. But instead of believing only for that, he believed in a city that was unseen. Not just that would be seen here, but a foundation whose builder and maker is God. He was believing in the New Jerusalem. Somehow, Abraham had a vision of the future. Mm-hmm. We know that he had a vision of Messiah, because Jesus says, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Mm-hmm. So we know he had to have some kind of understanding of Messiah coming. But the point being is that Abraham knew that even though he was here, and even though he was holding on to a promise for his generations to come, that he held on to a greater promise of that he was believing for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that's what we should believe in. That's what we should be. We should not be setting our focus on earthly cities, even though we may be living there for a certain amount of time. Our true habitation for eternity is a city whose builder and maker is God. That will not decay, that will not break down in an earthquake, doesn't have to be earthquake proof. It will not grow, weary or dingy, or the paint won't peel. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a perfect place. Yeah. You got to admit, that's kind of nice. I mean, if we all get a house that we don't have to paint, we don't have to rototill the yard. Speaking to ones who have been rototilling. We don't have to put up fences because they're already there, or there no fences are necessary. The animals just know how to behave. We're talking a city that is like perfect. Mm-hmm. The cars don't cut you off. Come on now. That's worth a glory right there. Thank you, Jesus. If there are cars, but that whole kind of thing, where someone's going to, take your place. Everybody's going to be believing in others and preferring others. It's like, can you imagine, there's a line 30 people. They're all asking the next one to go through the door. No, you go through the door. No, you go through the door. No, you go through the door. Finally, someone just says, okay, let's all go through the door at the same time. And they make it all the way at the same time. Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. There's a city that is to come. And, I don't understand all the New Jerusalem. We're called the New Jerusalem. But the New Jerusalem is also described as, sounds like a city. So, God's pretty trippy. He can do all kinds of things. So, we are the city of God, but then there's actually an actual city of God. But we seek that one. We don't have a continuing city. We don't have a habitation here that is we're anchored to. At least that's the way we should live. How should we live? That's the way we should live. We should live as if our 401k is not our future and our hope. We should live as he is our future and our hope. We can use our 401k, but it is not our future and our hope. The stock market, as great as it has been, praise the Lord. I'm sure anybody who has 401ks and stocks and maybe not so much bonds, but as the stock market has soared, a lot of people have made a lot of money, and they can then go, oh, boy, that's a safe place to put your money. But no, some trust in chariots, and some will trust in horses. Some may trust in armies. Some may trust in the police. But we got to remember the name of the Lord our God. And that's the same way as it comes to this habitation that we have here. It's not a continuing city.
Right.
It's temporal.
Right.
This, as solid as it may be, is really an illusion if you look into science. It looks solid, but it's only solid because of the existence that I'm in. Jesse can explain it better. Yeah. Don't go there, she says. Don't do it. So, we're traveling. This is not our place of final residence. But how do we get there? Guess what? You have what you need for the journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in you. Well, somebody tell me then how to get to it. Somebody tell me how to pull out the map. Well, let's look into this a little bit. Ecclesiastes. This is the Old Testament. This is Solomon's, probably one of his last writings. It's also known as the Vanity of Vanities book. I mean, it can be Solomon kind of questioning everything that he did. You know, life, the pursuit of life, you know, and he has little golden statements in there. And this is one of them. This is, I think, in the New King James, this one is. Ecclesiastes 3:11, this is 3:11b. He has made everything beautiful in its time. It's actually A and B. There's a C. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Let's go and look at the next one. It kind of explains a little better. This is New Living Translation. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. What does that mean? He has planted eternity in the human heart. Well, that word eternity literally means eons and eons and eons. It means something that you normally cannot see. It's obscure. It's hidden. That word kind of has a hidden root to it. So it means ancient times. He's put it in our hearts. So you have what you need for the journey. You know what Jesus does? He is the light of the world. He's our light. He comes into our life and he's the light of life. And he starts showing us his plan for us. Did that happen to anybody when they got saved? You know, kind of in the dark, kind of stumbling through life, kind of, you know, having all kinds of, you know, hiccups and mess ups and everything. And all of a sudden Jesus comes into your life. All of a sudden, well, this is starting to make sense. And you start reading the word and the Holy Spirit illuminates the word. And all of a sudden, what was already there because he's planted it in your heart is lit. See, he's caused light to shine in darkness. We were darkness. He caused his light to shine in us. And it revealed God's purpose for us. So many people think, well, I got saved and then God started, you know, putting all this stuff in me. No, it's called the revealer. He revealed what was already in you. Which is a different way to think. If you could get people to understand that just to get saved so that, you know, they just don't go to hell. They can get saved so they can understand what God has in store for them. That their whole life doesn't have to be a mystery. That salvation isn't just, you know, being saved from hell, but it's experiencing a meaning to life. I know for me, that was huge. Mm-hmm. Realizing that life had a purpose. That I wasn't just, you know, a big blob of cells that had crawled out of the mud someplace and, you know, stood upright and, you know, at least my ancestors did that. And that, you know, I was now, you know, a product of that. But that I was designed and crafted by the Creator of all things for a specific purpose. And that he planted in me a plan. Mm-hmm. That it says in Isaiah 39 that he knew our days before they were days. Mm-hmm. says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. Mm-hmm. Now, was I his workmanship before I got saved?
Yes.
Yeah. No, Jesse's shaking his head. No, yes. Yes, I was his workmanship. I did not know what Jesus did for me. Once I knew what Jesus did for me, guess what? I was free to be who he called me to be. Mm-hmm. When I received Christ, who he designed me to be from the foundations of the earth was fulfilled. Before that, I was walking in darkness. He is the light. You're pondering, you're thinking?
Just let me ponder.
Okay. John 14, 1 through 4. This is another confirmation that Jesus is telling his disciples that they have the answer. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now the disciples, when they heard this, now where I go, you know, and the way you go, you're going, they're going like, Lord, now we don't know where you're going. I could continue to read on, but we don't know where you're going. I mean, you're sounding pretty puzzling right now. You're being very rhythmic. You know, you're doing that thing you do again. It's like, what do you mean? And he goes, guys, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. I'm the way. Jesus says he's the door. When we receive Christ, we receive the door. And the door leads us to what?
Him.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He made it very clear. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the door. And when we have Christ, we have the door. We have access. We have the way. We know the journey. Sometimes we stumble along the journey because we try to figure out the journey on our own instead of letting the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Word guide us. We try to add to the journey. We try to maybe carry more on the journey than we need. Mm-hmm. Or continue to do something along the journey that is done. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So we're just passing through. And the only way that you're going to really realize that is to fully submit to Christ and his ways. Yield to who he is and what he's done for you. Right? Anything else? You don't have anything else. So if mom was here right now, she could come back, she would say, it's worth the battle. If anyone could visit us, they would say, oh my goodness, keep fighting, keep struggling, keep going. She's now part of the great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on. She's now saying, go, you can do it. There's no doubt in their hearts. They know that we can do it because they know who's in us. We know, they know whose we are. Whose we are? Whose we are. We're his. We're his workmanship. And now we can become everything he's called us to be. Does anyone have anything? Does anyone want to share? Nobody.
Derek.
Going to get on the mic? Good. Start the beat. Boom, bada, boom.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say a little bit. First of all, my heart, condolences go out to you, Gay, to you and your family. I've been kind of dealing with a lot. Almost the same position you're in. I don't know if some of you know, but my mother-in-law has been in the hospital for about 3 weeks as well, and she's been going through a lot of surgery. And she just recently went through a surgery that she almost didn't make it out of. It was uncertain, but she made it through, and she's doing okay right now, stable. It's still uncertain. They took a lot of her stomach, so she's only got like 55 centimeters. And there's just, it's the process of healing and recovering right now. And so prayers are always continued needed. And I just want to say in that time, you know, when we go through those times and we experience that, you know, someone, there's always someone that comes along with the knowledge of the Lord and that has, you know, that power. We do carry that power around with us. You know, he's in us. He's in our hearts. And he can do miracles through us and just that light that and that peace that can come off of us in those certain times. And so, and for us, it's our job and our responsibility to take opportunities of that to stay strong. You know, we can't do it ourselves physically. You know, we're weak. We give up. And it was chaos there for the last week. I had family over and everybody was just, you know, scared and, you know, arguments and just uncertain of what was going to go on. But I had to be the strong one there. The Lord kept telling me in my heart to stand up, be the strong one. And because I couldn't do it, because to be honest, I wanted to like disappear from the scene. Like, it's your family, you know, you guys deal with it. I'm going to stay out of the way. But I couldn't. And after everything's said and done, I mean, I got to be honest. There was times to where it's like, man, how dare I to feel ashamed at moments. As strong as someone may think they are in their walk and as long as they've been with the Lord, there comes times to where I'm like almost ashamed to be like, all right, guys, let's pray. Or to mention the word of the Lord, to jump on that opportunity. But even through all that chaos and all that mess, there could always rise an opportunity to where this person needs to hear that. And maybe the Lord's calling you to share just within that moment, and it could touch them and reach them. And even through that time, I've had time to witness to some of my family members, and they were standing there just looking at me and really questioning a lot of things. And how I get through it and how I deal with this, you know, how do you just seem so calm? I said, I'm not. I was like, you know, I want to go crazy. You know, I actually just want to step aside, but I was like, I can't. I said, someone's got to stand here and hold us all together. But I said, to be honest, I said, it's not me. I said, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And going up to the room and praying with my mother-in-law, just passing through, I knew where her heart was. She was at comfort. She was scared at first. But she was in peace. She was in comfort. And, you know, through that, and hearing about your mother passing on, it just kind of, and I shared, like, a lot of, well, I think, Pastor, I told you about what I was going through
mm-hmm.
since it started.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was pretty rough there. I just want to thank each and every one of you guys, if you were familiar, if you knew, for your prayers. And, Gay, y'all continue to be in my heart because it's so close to me. And also it was a wake-up call and just another growth in my part to understand. And the message today touched my heart. As long as during Easter, too, when we spoke about life. And that, too, was that's the power of Christ. And so it kind of goes hand in hand as we have that life. And I hope to share a video with you guys sometime soon. I don't know if we'd be able to load it up or maybe
sure,
next Sunday.
Yeah.
That, remember that last one I sent you, that I'll see you?
Yeah.
It kind of goes it kind of goes. If we're able to load it up now, great. If not, we can do it next Sunday. But
now, yeah, let's do it next Sunday.
Okay.
Put it on my... I'll see you, right?
Yeah.
That's the last one, yeah. Okay, go ahead and keep talking. It's dead air.
But I'm sorry. But I just want to thank each and every one of you. But I guess my main point is just always take advantage of those opportunities, regardless of what's going on. We have that peace. And just like Gay said, you know, being honest, being raw about it, we don't even feel like praising sometimes. But you know what? That's Christ in us to keeping us right there to go on with it, to do it, you know. I mean, we have excuses. Everyone has excuses. Oh, I couldn't, you know. You know, it's the same with me. I wake up every day, and I sit there, and he pulls me up. Come on, let's get it. And, you know, I just give my heart to him, and my day is constantly without him, and he helps me to continue to stay on that praise and to stay on that up and up, regardless of what continues to go on.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, amen. Anyone else? Going, gone. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for, Lord, an opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence, to be with each other, Lord. And we just pray right now, Father, for anyone who couldn't make it today, whatever's going on in their lives, Lord, and any issues they have, Father, we pray that your grace and your peace, your wisdom, Lord, would come to them. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that we would realize in a deeper way, Lord, as we've heard today, that we're just passing through. That life, Lord, is a vapor, Lord, that this is not our home. And Lord Jesus, that you are the way. And we know the way, Lord, because you are the way. Mm-hmm. And that you will guide and lead us into all truth, Holy Spirit. And we just, as we said, we bless the Lord. Our souls bless you today, Lord. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our deliverer. Thank you for your love being in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.